Good morning. Good morning. We had a really good time on our vacation, and we missed you. We missed you a lot. I'm not going to lie. The first Sunday, we went to Beachside Baptist Church, and we laid on the beach and watched you. So we didn't go to church. You ever been to Beachside Baptist? Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, that's where we went. It's a good church, but it's kind of lonely. Kind of lonely. Second week, we went to Mike's church down in Vincennes. We were down and so we had a really nice time, and it was good to worship, but missed you a lot. So anyway, that's that. A couple things to take care of before we get into our lesson today. First thing is I want to thank Bob for what he does. He doesn't fill in, man. He sets the bar really high. Yeah, go ahead. He knocked it out of the park both weeks, and I watched both of them a couple times, and I was convicted. And so thank you, Bob, so much. And we're very blessed to have somebody like Bob. Keep Patty in your prayers. Patty's going to have hip surgery tomorrow. And also Mindy's mother is not doing well. Any new things on that, Mindy? Nothing new? Okay. So keep her in your prayers, and we'll see what the Lord does. Well, here's how I want to start. I want to start this way. Today is our last day on the one another. I know Bob took you in a direction a little bit different, but really in the same direction we've been talking about, with some really interesting, deep, thought-provoking scriptures. And I appreciate that so much. But today, we're going to finish up the series, The One Another's. And the whole idea of this One Another series has been that we want to be the church that is that practices the one another's, that when people look at us, they see that that Christ is in us, and that we are flawed people and that we mess up, but at the same time, God is working in our lives, and that we treat each other with love and respect, and we treat each other in the way that God has asked us to do. And oftentimes in the church and in the world today, it's hard to find people that take the principles of the Bible and put them in to allow them to come into our lives. So today we're going to talk about what I would call the forgive one another. And this is a tough one, and it's a tough one for several reasons, because I think as we head into this this season, I think of I would call it the end times church. We've been in the end times for a long time, but I would say particularly, I think unless you're just not looking, the Bible is full of things that are going on in our world. And as you don't just open up any page of any news report and you see things that are happening in the news. And so what has prompted me to do this is I think before we move into, because the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what do we do as we face the end times. So we're going to really move into that. But before we move into that, we have to be ready as a church that be sure that we are standing before the Lord holy and blameless because of Jesus, not because of us, not because of anything we do, but because of what Jesus does, and that we take seriously the things that God has asked us to do, and we allow Jesus to be Jesus in our life, allow him to be the one who takes care of all the things that go on in our life. So let's start out today as we go into this. I'm going to ask you a question, and I think the question is this: do you have anyone in your life you're having trouble forgiving? Do you have anybody in your life that you're having trouble forgiving? And before you say no, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about somebody in here today who might have lost somebody. And you're going, God, why did you do that? And you have a hard time with God. God, why, where are you at with that? Why did you do that? Are you here today and you're having a hard time forgiving yourself because you know that you're doing things that God doesn't want you to do. You're far from him, and yet you're in a place where you just continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect some kind of different results. Of course, we call that insanity. If you're here today and you're having trouble and somebody's hurt you years ago when you were a kid, and still today it's left this indelible mark on you, and you are here in this place. And every time that person's name is brought up, every time you see that person or word about that person, there's a cringe in the middle of your stomach that just wells up. If you're here today and you've hurt somebody, maybe you know it or maybe you don't, this lesson is for you. This lesson is for you. As we've been in this series about the One Another Church, what's really important to understand is one of the last pieces that really solidifies us with being unified, because that's what Jesus asked us to do. He asked us to be unified, is this concept of forgiveness. And if we're having trouble forgiving God, if we're having trouble forgiving people in our life, there is automatically some things in our life that are not going to be going well, because God intended for us to be at peace with Him and at peace with others in our lives, and to have a sense of not only being forgiven because of what He did through Jesus, but us then turning around and forgiving others, even those that are hard to forgive. There are many in here that you know that there's somebody that you just cannot stand. You're offended by them. You use the word. You're angered by them. You hold something every time. It's just there. And you have no right to that as a Christian. Listen to me. You have no right to that as a Christian. I don't care who you are. You have no right because of what Jesus did for us. He set the bar so high. He did. And he said, here's how you go about this. So what we want to do today is as we look about this series of forgiving one another, we have to end here, because I think if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be in the end times, we have got to be together here. Over the past years, we've been here 22 years almost, and over the past 22 years, I can't tell you how many people have left because they've gotten sideways with somebody. Me, someone of you, and they just go away. And it just goes away, and it doesn't heal itself. It just doesn't automatically get better just because of time. It doesn't automatically get better because they're not around. Any of you that were hurt when you were young in horrible ways, you know that. You know that. So it's important today to really hone in here and see what God has for us today. The next screen's going to come up, and it's this verse that we're going to start with, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, God, forgave you. That's the overreaching thing for everything that we're going to talk about today. Just as God forgave you. Just as God forgave you. Everybody, hopefully, today got one of these rocks. Did everybody get one of these rocks? Okay. They are shiny, polished rocks. My wife said, Jeff, why don't you just go out and grab them out around the church and hand out to everybody? And I thought, I want everybody to understand what this rock is going to represent, because in a little bit, I'm going to explain to you why you got it and what you're going to do with it. And I want you to think about what we're doing here today. And I want you to allow God to convict you, to move you, not me. I want you to allow God to convict you and move you today towards forgiving somebody, towards moving towards forgiveness with somebody. I want you to hold on to it, and I want you to put it in your fingers right now. I want you to just put it in your fingers. Get that rock out, put it in your fingers, and I just rub it and use it as kind of a thing that you're going to be going through. Because I know that in a place like this today, almost every one of you have somebody that you're sideways with. Somebody that you haven't forgiven. And so I want you to hold on to that, and we're going to see what God does. So I think we can call this rock today, as we're going to look at it from our story's point of view. It's a rock of retaliation. It's a rock of offense. It's a rock of retribution, or rocks of revenge. It's a rock that we hold, and sometimes we want to physically throw it at somebody, because we don't like them, and we don't care for them, and we are so hurt by them, we would just like to just pick it up and throw it. Most of us have been there, or we are there. And in our story today, it's a story about a half-dressed woman, some conniving men, and some rocks. So let's read this story that we find in John 8, 1, 11. See if we can read that small print. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. If you want to get your Bibles, you can do that too if you can't read this. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" Well, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, the old graybeards, and then all of them went until Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Leave your life of sin. The Pharisees are thinking, "Boy, we got him. We're going to trap this guy. Finally, we're going to get him." And they come to this point, and they bring this woman who they caught in the act of adultery. Man, imagine that. That's a big deal. And Jesus says, "Yeah, go ahead, pick up a rock and start throwing them." And no, he doesn't say that. Jesus said, if you're without sin, do that. And so they do what only they can do. They leave the premises. They leave the grounds. And I want you to notice it says Jesus stood next to the woman. That's where Jesus is today with you. No matter whether you've done something that's very horrible or something's been done very horrible to you, Jesus is standing next to you. And instead of condemning her, and instead of saying, "What a stupid lady you are, how did you get caught in the act of adultery?" Instead of doing all that, he uses this as an opportunity to encourage her spiritually. Verse 10, Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." He didn't say embrace it. He didn't say celebrate it like so many do today. Just be who you are. Just celebrate who God made you to be. No, that's not what he said. You go and leave it. Leave the sin. Leave it. Go and leave. See, John 8 gives us this picture of Jesus. Jesus who gives perfect grace and perfect truth. And we see it in this, that he says, "Neither do I condemn you. I'm not going to do it. They're not going to do it. So who's left to condemn you?" Nobody. Nobody. And we see the truth. Now, go and leave your life of sin. Leave it. Go away from it. He doesn't condone the sin. He doesn't condone the sinner. What he does is, he says, the only one that's here that could possibly get sideways with you is me, and I'm saying it ain't happening. So go and do no more. And so the next slide, I think, should say this, if you go to the next one. Jesus chose forgiveness over judgment. Now, that's what we have to do too, because we are hurt, and the first thing that we do is we want retaliation, we want judgment, we want mercy, we want somebody to do something because this hurts. This hurts. Jesus chose forgiveness over judgment. Let's get really real for a little bit this morning, okay? You were given this rock, but in truth, there's a lot of us probably came in with a lot of rocks. You came in with a lot of rocks already, and you brought it with you, and even though you don't physically see it, you carry it everywhere you go, and it shapes and it molds you. It shapes how you talk. It shapes how you love. It shapes how you forgive. It shapes how you give mercy, and a lot of you aren't very mercy-based. You don't give people much rope. One and done. You hurt me, you're out of here. Maybe even two and done, you're out of here. Three. And Jesus said, no, that's not the case. As you look at this rock, I want you to think about what God wants to do in your life today. Maybe that rock is somebody bullied you or made fun of you or made fun of your features. Ever since you got divorced, you've had this rock of unforgiveness and you just carried it around. Ever since you left that church because they hurt you, that friend who didn't come through for you, maybe it was an uncle. A well-meaning uncle, or maybe a not well-meaning uncle who did something horrible to you at a very young age. And whatever it was, it may be years and years ago, you're still carrying the rocks. You're still carrying the rocks. And some of you, you know what? You find satisfaction in carrying the rocks. You find that it holding on to this is kind of like holding them hostage. It's holding them hostage over hurts that they hurt you. And the rock goes wherever you go. Every place you go. Now, hey, I understand this. I understand. I really do. There's no judgment up here for me today. But how long are you going to carry it? How long? Some of you today, Jesus wants to speak to, and he wants to say to you, drop the rock. Drop the rock. And some of you today, he's going to say that to, and you're going to choose not to. Mm-mm, not me. Forgiveness is an amazing thing, church. It's an amazing thing. And it brings about such love and unity when it's truly given and got. It really and accepted. It's just something special about forgiveness. And so today I want to send you home with three really practical things about forgiveness. And then I want to challenge you at the end. And that's what we're going to do. So here we go. Let's take our head off. The first one is this. I've got three things I want to share with you. Forgiveness, I want you to believe it. I want you not only to believe it, but I want you to believe in it. I want you to believe when you offer it. It doesn't matter if they do anything or if they acknowledge it or if they come up and hug you and say, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. You need to believe in forgiveness. You need to believe it. You need to say, I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. So let's look at these couple scriptures here, and then I'll talk about them in a little bit. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, the things we've done wrong, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say there's any, it says our sins, whatever it is we've done wrong, it doesn't matter if you've done the worst thing that there is, he will forgive you. There is no label, there is no amount of things that pile up on top of your sin and make it the worst sin. A sin is a sin is a sin. He will forgive them. And then we go back in the Old Testament and we get a picture of David. And I love David because David was such, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. God loved this guy so much, and he screwed up so much, even after God gave him so much. Let's read what David says here, and then I want to talk about David just a minute. 51:1-4. He says, this is David, and he's kind of giving a look at his prayer journal, so to speak. And he's kind of telling us what's going on in his head. He says this, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. If you remember King David back in the Old Testament, he was a special guy. And we get a picture of his life that from the very beginning of killing the giant to the very end where he really messes up some stuff. We get this picture. And he does this thing. You remember his egregious thing was he is up on his castle or his big home, and he's looking out, and he looks out and he sees Bathsheba, and Bathsheba is bathing, and it's not his wife, and he wants her. And so he goes and has her husband basically sent on the front line and killed. And so he then ends up having a baby with her, and the baby dies. It's a mess. And so David gives us this peek into his prayer journal. I screwed up. I know I did. And so he comes to God, and he says, God, forgive me. He begs God to forgive him. 2 Corinthians says, it says, David had godly sorrow. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leads no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Now, let me explain that for a minute. Sometimes a lot of us have worldly sorrow. Let me explain worldly sorrow. It means I got caught. I got caught. I love, yesterday, Whitney had her shower, baby shower. And one of my jobs was to help babysit the kids. And so I had Ellen and Mercy, my two granddaughters. And although they love each other and they just spend a lot of time together in vacation down in Florida together, they don't always want to share. They don't always like to share. And they will Skype and Skype at each other, and they will come in if one picks up something. Hey, I want that. And then it was just sitting there. And they do this thing back and forth. And so it's been interesting to be reminded of how we are as kids, because we're a lot that way as adults. And I'll be sitting there, and I was sitting in a room with him, and I said, you need to tell her you're sorry. Oh, sorry. No. You go tell her sorry. No, go tell her you're sorry. Okay. And so they go over and they look at each other, and she says, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, and they hug. And it was really perfect thing for a 4-year-old to go through this kind of thing. That's how we are. That's how we are. We often say sorry and we don't really mean it. And I want to also say to you, like David, when's the last time you begged God to forgive you for something you've done? When's the last time you got on your knees and said, man, I am a sinner, God. Man, I cannot believe what I've done and how I've hurt you. No matter what we do, it hurts God, because God is perfect. And when we sin, we hurt our Heavenly Father. And for some of you, you are knowingly doing things that you know hurt. Let me back up. For all of us, we continue to do things that we know God does not approve of. Not only does not approve of, he knows when we do that, it hurts us and it hurts our relationship with him. It hurts our relationship with him, and it causes this tension, this great tension. Sometimes we have that worldly sorrow, but we need this heavenly sorrow, a sorrow that says, God, here I am, please forgive me. And it has to be real, and it has to be genuine. And then we hear the words that God says, and we hear that scripture that most of us know. And as he says, as far as the east from the west, I will remove your sin. That is what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear today. I want you to hear that. No matter what it is you've done, no matter who you hurt, no matter how much you've been hurt, God wants to take that as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? I don't know, but it's a long way. It's a long way. And God wants to do that in your life. We have to believe in forgiveness. Number two, next screen. Forgiveness is applied. We have to apply it. If we can't just talk about it, we can't just say we received it, we can't just say we want it, we can't just say we want to do it. We have to apply it. It has to be applied. We have to do something with it. Matthew says this, Jesus said, if you forgive other people, now listen, who said this? Not Jeff. Jesus said this. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, listen, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will let you read the rest. This is what God expects of us as his followers. He expects us to give forgiveness. Throughout Scripture, we are commanded to forgive others. We are commanded to do that. Maybe you've been hurt by a pastor, or perhaps a drunk driver took somebody in your family, or God didn't act the way you wanted to. He didn't. You asked him, and you begged him, and you begged him, and you begged him, and it didn't come out like it was supposed to in your mind. There are such occasions where it just seems like maybe I just need to pick up the stone and throw it. Maybe I just need to throw it. A lot of us are feeling like that in these days, in these times, because we haven't forgiven previously. And unforgiveness piles up, and it piles up. And pretty soon, you just want to take the stone, and you just want to pelt somebody. Usually the person that hurt you. Usually the person that did this heinous thing to you. Jesus shares the implications for those who don't choose not to forgive. God is not going to forgive you. Now, we hear that verse, and Jesus doesn't mean that literally. And then we say that, oh, he doesn't mean that, does he? Or maybe he means that if we need to forgive as long as it's not this big sin against us. Yeah, that's what it is, right? Right, right? No. Or we need to forgive the person, ask for forgiveness. Then we forgive. How about that? Or we need to forgive if it's been five or 10 years. We just let it go away. After a while, I deserve to be angry. How many of you thought that? I deserve to get my pound of flesh. I'm offended. I'm angry. I'm mad. Be very, very careful. Forgiveness means releasing my right to retaliate, to pick up the stone and to throw it. Let me say it again. Forgiveness means releasing my right to retaliate. You have no right to get your pound of flesh. See, church, Satan loves, he loves to stir up things in us. He loves to stir up unforgiveness and bitterness and take full advantage of it, because the longer he can get you to hold on to bitterness, the longer that rock is going to take to let go of it, and it gets embedded in your person. It gets embedded and it just stays there, and pretty soon you don't even realize it. Some of you can remember back to Desert Storm, and some of you can't. There was, in 1991, I was looking this up, and I found this story. I remember hearing it years ago. Somebody else used it, and I think it's a really good idea about retaliation and revenge. It was back before we had email, and we had text messages and all that kind of stuff. We had to get mail the old-fashioned way, snail mail. And so there was this mail call, and everybody in Desert Storm, these soldiers were all excited. And at one time, a soldier got his letter, and he opened up the letter, and then his girlfriend was breaking up with him. It was a Dear John letter. And at the end, to add insult to injury, the PS said this: "Please send back my favorite picture of myself, because I would like to use that photograph for the county newspaper for my engagement picture." Ouch. You talk about kicking a guy when he's down. But all of his buddies came to the rescue, and that's why this made the national news. They went through all the barracks, and they got all the soldiers to turn all the pictures of their girlfriends into this guy. And they took a shoebox, and they filled up with hundreds of pictures of these gals. And then they gave it to this guy, and the one picture of his ex-girlfriend, and they put it in the box. And then they had him write this note to her: "Please find your picture in the shoebox and return the rest. For the life of me, I can't remember which one you were." We like that, don't we? Because we like to get revenge. God says revenge is his, not ours. His, not ours. Forgiveness releases my right to hurt you back. Forgiveness releases me from having to think about you every time and think some horrible thoughts about you every time I see you. Romans 12, 19 says this: "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. I will repay. I will repay. You have to remember that. But Jeff, this world is crazy. I will repay. Somebody's going to win this election and somebody's going to be happy and somebody's not. I will repay. It's not yours. It's not yours. I will repay. I will repay. Forgiveness, believe it, extend it. And lastly, here we go, the last one. Accept it. Take it and accept it. Accept it. Remember the woman caught in the act of adultery? That lady we started out with? She may have deserved those rocks. She probably did. She was pretty stupid for getting caught in the act of adultery, okay? And King David, he deserved the rocks. He was a knothead. He shouldn't have done what he did. But listen, family, we deserve the rocks too. Some of you are doing things and you know it's wrong. You're doing, and you're justifying it. I deserve love. I deserve to be loved. I deserve to have this. I deserve to have. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's God's deal to take care of your inner garden. It's God's deal to take care of the things that are going on with you. It is not your deal to do that. You have to accept that and then roll in it. There's a scripture all the way back in Psalms that says this, Psalm 32:5, again talking with David. This is what he said: I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity, what I did wrong. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. You forgive it. So all I do is I have to confess it, and then he takes it. So that's acceptance of it. We have to just tell him and accept it, and then he deals with it. In the Hebrew word for transgressions here, it's this defiant disobedience. And that's what I just was talking about. It's a defiant disobedience towards God. And that's how David acted. And he actually called himself on it here at the end. He called himself out, and he knew he did wrong. And he went to God and he begged him forgiveness. And the final first word for that is the Hebrew word for deceit. It means that David deceived himself. He fooled himself. He tricked himself. And we do that all the time. We soothe ourselves by telling ourselves these little white lie. Nobody's going to get hurt. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going on. So I ask, why does David give us such detail and honest vulnerability? I think because he wants you to know, and he wants me to know, that there is nothing, nothing that God won't forgive in us, no matter how big of a knothead you are. And some of you today, you're here and you picture an angry God holding a bunch of rocks in his hand, and Jesus Christ was sitting right there. He didn't throw a rock. He had men drop theirs. But in Psalms 32, David, who has done every type of sin there is, David assures us that God is not only big enough, he's not only big enough to forgive the sin, but he's the only person who has the right to throw rocks. But he chose to drop them. He chose to drop them. The sin, a perversion, needs to be dropped today in somebody's life here. Somebody here is doing things, it's perverse, and God is calling you to drop it. The sin of disobedience, that you know that there's something in your life and you continue to do it even though you know it's wrong. He wants you to drop it. He takes every sin away that you can imagine. I know that there's some of you here that you're still hung up on extending forgiveness. You get it. Okay, I receive it. I'll take forgiveness, but extending it, not me. He hurt me. She hurt me. They hurt me. Jesus says, if you hate someone, you've already committed murder in your heart. Let that sit in. We have to begin to move towards forgiveness. You know, and the place where you have to start is, can you pray for that person? And when you can start praying for the person, God can do things in your heart. I find that in my life all the time. When I get sideways with somebody, I have to start praying for them, or I can't even talk to him because I just feel like I'll go off. And that going off is like throwing a stone, because what right do I have to throw a stone? None. Look at me. I'm a slob. But so are you. So are you. And when I do that, time after time, when I pray for somebody, I start to have this thing in my spirit that just feels lighter. And it just does. I can't explain it by any other way. And here's what I know. Forgiving people, what they need to do is forgive other people. And so that's my challenge for you today. The greatest motivation is not even the fact that God won't forgive me. The greatest motivation is the crud that God has already forgiven us of. Think of all the stuff he's forgiven in your life. And he says it's as far as the east is from the west. It is gone. We have this tendency, when it's our sin, to expect that people should just drop the rock. But when you hurt me, I'm banking it, baby. It's going in my pocket. I might put one in my back pocket. I'm not going to put it in my shoe because then I'll be remembered in every day. But I'm going to carry it, and I'm going to remember it. Church, your vertical relationship. We started our church with this. Your vertical relationship, how you and God are, is so important. But if this isn't right, you see what I'm just doing there? I'm making a cross. If this isn't right, this isn't going to be right either. You ever thought about it like that? If you're sideways with this, this is not going well either. I don't know where God is. He's sure not helping me right now in my time of need. It's because this probably isn't right. Or you're angry with him, or you're mad at him, and he's calling you today to drop the rock, to drop the rock. So who do you need to forgive today? Maybe you need to drop the rock. Others of you, maybe you need to forgive God, which sounds stupid, because what did God ever do wrong to us? I mean, he's perfect. But we get sideways with him. And that's not what I mean. God is perfect. But if you have a grudge against him because he did something, remember, he's the all-powerful God. And he didn't intervene when you ask him the most. And you blame God. And you're sitting here going, why aren't I getting any better? Here's your sign. And maybe it's time for you to forgive God and realize he's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Maybe you're here today and you wonder that you need to go to somebody else and just say, I'm sorry. Instead of looking away, you need to go to them and say, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did. Maybe I don't even know. But it doesn't seem to be right between us. I'm sorry. Let's talk about this. Will you forgive me? Well, I don't even know what you did wrong. Start there. Most of us, we don't want to do that. We don't want to run towards others. We want people to run towards us. We want people to come to us and say, oh, you're just wonderful, and I'm so, yeah, you need to forgive me. No, you run towards people. You run towards those folks. So in the building here today, I put 4 trash cans, just like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 2 on the back table. I want you to take your rock. And I'm going to be real serious with you. I don't want you to put it in this trash can if you're not willing to move towards forgiveness right now, right now. So there may be a lot of this, you may be hearing a lot of that, or you may be hearing nothing. And I don't want you to do it if you're not willing to forgive, if you're not willing to walk towards forgiveness. You say, well, Jeff, you're kind of making me out to be the bad guy because I don't put my stuff in there. No, here's what I'm saying. Acknowledge that forgiveness takes time. Acknowledge that God needs to work through things. I pray he's working in some of your lives today, and you'll drop that rock. But if he doesn't, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that polished rock. And the reason I made it a polished rock is because I want you to take that rock, if you're not willing to forgive today, and I want you to put it somewhere in your person, and I want you to carry it with you everywhere you go until you're ready to drop it. What? So don't throw it in there because you don't want to carry it everywhere you do. This is between you and God. This is between you and the Lord. I want you to take that nice polished rock, and I want you to, we're going to have a time where David Crowder is going to start singing here in just a minute, not David Baker, David Crowder is going to sing the song Forgiven, and you're going to have some time to think about it. The lights are going to go down, it's going to be dark, and if you wish to do that, then come up to one of those four things and stick it in there. If you don't, no judgment, nobody's going to come and check if you still got your rock on the way out. Nobody's going to try to steal it from you. Nobody's going to ask for it back. I don't know what I'm going to do with all these rocks when we're done. It doesn't matter. What matters is you and God work on this thing with forgiveness. Whatever it is you need to be forgiven for or to forgive, you do that. And then, here's why I want you to take this seriously. Please don't put it in here if you aren't ready to do it. Stick it in your purse, stick it in your pocket, stick it somewhere, and I challenge you to carry it with you until the time that God just gets a hold of your heart and says, drop the rock, drop the rock. Let me pray with you, and then we're going to have Mr. Crowder sing.